Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Here's the trivia question. Ready? Say ready. What were Jesus' last words on the cross? You want to bet money on that? No. You're right. If you read the Gospel of John, he said, "It is finished." But if you read the Gospel of Luke, his last words, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So it depends upon which gospel. But here's the point. Something was finished and something was placed in God's hands by both accounts. Something was finished and something was placed in God's hands. My work as Savior, Jesus was saying, is finished. All the saving you'll ever need is already accomplished in my blood. My work as Savior is finished. Now, when he said, "My life, I commit, Father, I commend my hands, I commend in thy hands my spirit," he's saying, "My life is now placed in God's hands." Okay. Now hang on to that thought and let's go somewhere. Can we go a little deep tonight? Well, let's go there. Romans chapter 6, look on the screen, verses 3 through 11. The scripture says, "Do you not know that we who were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" It's a question. Did you not know that that happened? Okay. "For since we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, so we shall also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection." Then it goes on to say, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all." Everybody say, "Once for all." "But the life he lives to God." Now, assuming that you've all been born again, born of the Spirit of God, when you are born of the Spirit of God, the second birth, born again, born of the flesh, then born of the Spirit, you were baptized at the same time by the Spirit into the same death as Jesus. The same death he died, you were baptized into that. Something in you got finished too. Remember I said when Jesus said it is finished, his work as Savior was finished. Well, something got finished in you. You identify with his death, not just his life, but you identify with his death. So something in you got finished. Say, something in me got finished. He died as a sinless sacrifice, paying the full price for you to be set free. We talked about this last week, from a doomed sin nature. You were born with a sin nature. We call it a satanic sin nature. No one had to teach you how to lie. No one had to teach you how to steal. You didn't go to sin school. Where'd that come from? It was your nature. You inherited it from your parents. They inherited it from their parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Now, when Jesus died and you were baptized into his death when you were born again, something in you got finished too. Something died in you. And at the same time, something was birthed in you the same moment. What died was your sin nature. When you got born again of the Spirit, the sin nature that you had died. You say, well, then how come I still sin? If you're born again, you do not have a sin nature and God's nature. You'd be double-minded all the time. You'd be schizophrenic. You don't have a double nature. When you're born again, you don't have a sin nature any longer. You have a sin habit. Now, why is this important? Because there are great preachers on TV, and I say great because they are great preachers, great men and women of God, and there are great Christian books out there that are great Christian books, but have one serious, serious flaw, one serious error, and they teach that Christians still have a sin nature, and they use that as the excuse. That's why we sin, because we have a sin nature. And last week I dealt with this more in detail, so if you want to go back and look at the notes online or listen to the podcast, you can. It was like the old, the cartoon that had the devil on one shoulder and the angel on one shoulder, and you're always going to, which one are you going to listen to? No, that's not the Christian life. Now, you have the flesh to deal with now, and if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh, but if you walk in the flesh, you'll not carry out the desires of the Spirit. But it is not a sin nature. And it's important to note that, because you'll start picking up on when you read good books, but they have a serious error in it. You have a sin nature still. No, you don't have a sin nature, not according to the Bible. And we need to settle that issue once and for all. Something died in you. You identified with the death of Christ. Look at it in Galatians 2:20. Very clearly, it makes it clear that something died. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. I was crucified with Christ. When I was born of the Spirit, something in me got finished. What part of me got crucified? Well, it was just your sins. If you think it was just your sins didn't need to be crucified. Your sins need to be punished. Crucified means death. The sin nature that I was born with, was crucified with Christ. I still sin, but not because I have a sin nature, but because I have a sin habit, and because I have the flesh, and I have the devil, and I have the temptations of the world to deal with. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome all that, and I can teach you how to do it too. And you walk in the Spirit, you'll not carry out desires of the flesh. Now, your sin nature died the moment you were born again. That's very important. Very important truth. A lot of churches don't teach that. A lot of Bible versions are written when you read Romans 6, 7, and 8, they're written to where they show that there's still a sin nature. That's error. That's not true. In addition to all this, when you were born of the Spirit, you got a newly created spirit, was born the moment you were born again. You'll have to sit up close here to be able to see some of this. So if you need to move up closer, feel free to do so. When you were born again, you got a newly created spirit that was born that moment. That spirit that never existed before. Jesus Christ was placed inside along with your newly created spirit. And you are also called in Christ. That is a term you'll see all through the epistles of the Apostle Paul. In Christ. That is a very important term. And we need to understand what it means. Not only do we have Jesus in us, but God places us in Christ. That's why we identified with the death of Jesus. We were born again. God took us literally. And he, let this pen represent me, he places me in Christ. You don't see me. I'm in Christ. God treats me the same way He treats Jesus. I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I was an old sinner. But now I'm saved by grace. I can't still be an old sinner. That part of me died. That old man doesn't live anymore. He's crucified. He died. God would have to treat me like an old sinner if that part of me was still alive. He treats me a brand new creation that never existed before. Born, birthed, new beginning. And His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to make a big capital S here, came in and inside my body to where my human spirit was, little s. Big spirit, little spirit. They're not two spirits now. They become one spirit that never existed before. A new creation. You are not the same old person who had a sin nature who just added Jesus to your life because now you believe in Jesus. No. Your identity is now in Christ. Your identity, this is who you are. You say, what, who are you? You say, I'm in Christ. That's how God looks at you. Your identity is in Christ. Your old sin nature was crucified with Christ. Your newly created spirit is merged as one spirit in Christ. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, not walk in the spirits. Walk in the Spirit. It's one spirit. It's one newly created spirit. The Holy Spirit and your human spirit merged together as one spirit. Just like in marriage, the husband and wife, God says when man and woman come together, they are to become one. Jesus said in John 17, in the John 17 prayer, Father, I pray that they will become one like we are one. We know there's three of them. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, plural. But there's one God. Now, don't let all that blow all your fuses. Here. 2 Corinthians, I told you we're going deep, so I hope you brought enough line. You got enough line on your pole? We're going deep. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man, come on, say it, be in Christ. He is a what? Stop. A new creation, never existed before. Not an old creation made new. Not an old creation with a makeover. A new, never existed before. Creation. Read on with me. Old things have. That's why God doesn't treat you like your past. That'd be double jeopardy. Jesus paid for all of that sin. He took all your curse. He took all your sickness. He took it all. He doesn't treat you that way. That's why you wake up every morning, God's in a good mood. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, you need this one. He who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. You're not two spirits, not the Holy Spirit and your spirit. You're one spirit. You are merged with the Lord, and you, your human spirit and the Holy Spirit are merged as one. Are you getting it? All right. Now, this newly created spirit is like a newborn baby, and a newborn baby needs nurturing. If someone dropped off a newborn baby to your house tonight, what would you do? Call for help. Yeah, call. Pam be very happy. Anybody wants to drop off a baby on the doorstep, come to our house, she'd be happy to take it. Well, you're going to take that baby inside. You're going to take care of it. You're going to give it a loving environment. And a newly created spirit in Christ, a new Christian, needs a loving home. needs a loving family. You know, that's what God always wanted. He always wanted a family. You're it. Tag, you're it. He chose you. He said, you're my kids. You're my family. Now get along with one another. And so they need a loving family. They need food. Babies need baby food. They can't handle meat. They need milk of the word. You need mentoring when you're a new Christian. And God has put a resident teacher inside you called Holy Spirit, who will mentor your human spirit and teach you how to live out of your spirit rather than your soul and out of your body, which you've lived most of your life. He'll teach you to see things from a different point of view. He'll teach you to walk contrary to the world's ways. And you will be an oddball in the world. Now as you're born of the Spirit of God, you have a brand new DNA. Everybody say what a DNA is. That's what you got. You have the divine nature of God living in you now. You have God's nature in you. Holy Spirit came in and He blended with your human spirit and you become one spirit. You have the nature of God in you. You can't have the sin nature. You have the nature of God. What is the nature of God? I hope you're here Sunday because I'm going to start preaching on that. Ooh, can't wait. I'm excited. The nature of God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And you know you have that inside you right now. If you're a believer and you tell somebody, oh, I don't have any patience, you have just lied. You may not be activating it, but you have it. You have God's patience. You have God's nature. You're God's child. As God's child, shouldn't you look like Him? Shouldn't you walk like Him? Shouldn't you talk like Him? Shouldn't you have the same DNA match? You do. So now all the change that has to take place in you doesn't take place in your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is brand new. Your spirit is sinless. No sin in your spirit. Your spirit is sealed, the Bible says, Ephesians. Nothing evil can get in it. Nothing can corrupt it. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit's always loving. Your spirit's always joyful. Your spirit's always peaceful. Your spirit's always kind, always good, always. Your spirit. If you could just learn to live out of your spirit, instead of living out of your soul realm, which is your mind, will, and your emotions, this part is completely saved. This part's being saved. I'm serious. James chapter 2. I'm serious. You read it. Your soul is not completely saved yet. Your soul is in the process of being saved. Your mind, will, and emotions are in the process of being saved according to how much you are renewing your mind with the Word of God to think like God. Come up to His level, His point of view, the way He sees things. And He sees things vastly different than people down here in the world see things. So, there is little or no change happening in your life if you are not doing your part of renewing your mind here in the area of your soul. If you're not spending time with God, if you're not meditating on His Word, if you're not talking to Him and walking with Him in prayer, if you're not enjoying the adventure of life with God every day, I guarantee you very little change is happening in you. you'll be the same this way next year, probably worse. 365 days from now, they won't see any change in you. Might have another wrinkle, might have less hair, might have white hair, but on the inside, you're still the same old you. Do you want to be that way? Not me. There is no change without renewing the mind. The Bible says in Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. You go to the gym and you work out. Not work for. Work out the salvation that's already in your spirit. Activate this thing. Make this thing come over and overwhelm the area of the soul. And then it'll overwhelm and overflow and manifest in the body. Work on this. Let this flow in. Renew this mind to agree with the Spirit. Work out, say it with me, work out your... It means be serious about this. It means take it seriously. You are involved and cooperate with God in the sanctification process. You want to get rid of depression? You can. You want to overcome a habit? You can. You want to change your behavior? You can. You don't have any limit there. You can do that. Nothing's impossible. In fact, everything you already need has been put in your DNA, in your spirit. You have the divine nature of the Almighty God in your spirit. Now, you work that part out that God has given you down in here into your soul and into your body. Cooperate with God. Sometimes it means I have to deny myself. Sometimes I need to push the pause button before I speak. Sometimes it's learning patience in a traffic jam where I can't control. I'm working on my salvation, my sanctification, my walk with God every day of my life. That's the adventure. Breathe. Let me hear you breathing. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Come on. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Here's the hard part. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change, what a change in my life. Come on, big finish. Oh, what a change, what a change in my life. It's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. That's how it happens. And He's doing His part. You got to cooperate with Him on the outside as well, right? Are you with me? You know the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly? Look at the change. Let me ask you, is a butterfly just a caterpillar with wings? A butterfly and a caterpillar are two different species. A caterpillar crawls on the ground or crawls on a leaf, or crawls on a plant, and it eats everything in sight. It destroys everything it touches. It leaves a trail of death and destruction. Destroys everything it touches. Everything it gets on, it destroys it. Butterfly flies. And everything it touches, it blesses. It pollinates. Brings life. Totally different creatures. That's why the butterfly is a symbol of transformation, a symbol of a Christian. It's your symbol, isn't it? Yeah. And for grief, you can overcome this. You can come out of this. You can become a new person. Amen. And so the difference is tremendous. A butterfly is not a caterpillar that grew wings. The metamorphosis was a total change starting on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in the butterfly. Caterpillar to butterfly. That butterfly did not exist. There was a complete metamorphosis. You are no longer, don't let anyone tell you that you were just an old sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You were an old sinner. But if you've been born from above, there is such a radical metamorphosis change in you. It's so mysterious, so wonderful. You are not the old person with a new paint job. You are a radically different person in the DNA of your whole being. You never existed before. They may have known the old you, but that old you is dead. That's not you. You are not who you used to be. That guy doesn't exist anymore. I mean, he may have your name and your address, but he does not exist. Ask God. He said, no, he's dead. He's gone. You are now a saint. The Bible calls you a saint. Oh, man, I don't think I'd call myself a saint. Well, that's what God calls you. He calls you the beloved. You no longer have a sin nature. You may have sin habits, but all that can be changed through the process of renewing your mind. And God is mercifully helping you. Don't be so hard on yourself about some issues you have. I'm not saying go easy on sin. I'm just saying don't be so hard on yourself. God knows your weaknesses and He loves you anyway. He's helping you change. Just the fact that you want to change is a sign that God's working in your life. That's a good thing. Love yourself. He loves you. Don't hate yourself. Love yourself. Well, thank you, Lord, that you love me. Now, there is no more of the old you trying to get fixed up. There is only the new man that needs to be built up. There's a difference. You got to build up the new man. You got to feed the new man the word of the living God. You got to get into the awareness of the presence of God. You got to practice rejoicing. You got to practice giving thanks to God. And you've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. God is not conscious of sin like we are. Have you ever noticed that? Can I confess something to you? Everybody wants to hear the preacher confess something. So I get your attention. Yeah, what are you going to tell us? What did you do? Every time I have sinned and known that I've sinned deliberately, and I did it anyway, I've never found God was mad at me. You know, like my wife would be mad at me if I did something and she said, don't you do that, and I did it anyway. She'd be mad at me for a little while. But he's not mad at me. I don't know about you, but I just really find that amazing. He does not ever treat me like a sinner. Hallelujah, brother. Hallelujah. I'm serious. This is really, you got to go deep with that, and you need to take time to think about that. God is not sin conscious like we are. We shouldn't be sin conscious about everybody else's sins either. He didn't appoint us and deputize us as the Holy Spirit. He didn't deputize you and say, you're the Holy Spirit, now go out there and arrest those people. Convict them. No. God wants to convict somebody of something. He knows how to do that very well without our help. I'm not saying that you shouldn't help a brother who's caught in sin and things like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying we shouldn't go around being condemning and judgmental of people, because that's not the way God treats me. When God looks at you, He sees the new you, the new creation. So our thinking needs to change. God had Jesus come to this world, be born of a virgin, live 33 years, die a criminal's death, even though He never committed any sin. He had Jesus come and be the sacrificial lamb that would take away the sin of the world, so that God, when He would look at us, He wouldn't look at sin at all. He'd only see righteousness, because He sees you in Christ. That's how He sees you. You know what convicts me of sin greater than anything? Is this incredible love of God, when He doesn't even mention my sin. And I haven't even confessed it yet. He doesn't even mention it. He doesn't say, hey, how about that sin? He never says that. And I say, well, Lord, I know You already know about this. I just want to get it off my conscience. And I thank You that Jesus' blood has already paid for that. Thank You, God. I want help from the Holy Spirit not to do that again. I don't want to continue that. It didn't please me. I didn't get any pleasure out of it. And it didn't please You. And I don't want to do anything to grieve You. And He said, that's fine, son. That's fine. I know. I know your heart. So there's something that we have to focus on. God focuses on our righteousness. And we have to change our mindset. Our mindset has to be changed, especially in this, in church. Now, I find this is really remarkable in church. And I don't know if you're this way or not, but what I find really prevalent in church is a mindset that even though now you're saved by grace, it's like you get caught up in this performance track. And you start living a performance. You have a mindset where you think you got to earn things from God. That's the way the world thinks. You don't earn things from God. But by the world, you have to earn things to get them. Listen, let me give you a quick story. You know the story of the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son went out and wasted all of his father's inheritance, didn't deserve anything. And yet he repented, and when he came back home, he received everything from his father as a gift. He didn't earn one penny of it. Are you with me? Okay, that's us. You agree? But there was a son that stayed home. He didn't run around like the devil. And he stayed home, and he received less from his father and complained about it because he tried to earn it. I think I'm going to get some t-shirts made up. Some t-shirts for all of us here. We put maybe the church name on it, or maybe a scripture to go with it. But we are God's dwelling place on earth. And I want to get a t-shirt that says Habitat for Divinity. Because He lives in us. We're the habitat for divinity. See, in the Old Testament times, people only had a visitational relationship with God. God's Spirit would come upon them, maybe a prophet for a season, and they'd prophesy, and then God would leave. God would come upon a king, and he would say something profound, and then he would leave. Or come upon David the psalmist for a while, he'd be inspired, and then God would leave. They only had a visitational relationship. Everybody say visitational. I don't even know if that's a word, but anyway, it's a new word. They had a visitational relationship with God. Today, in the new covenant, say everybody say new covenant, we have a habitational. Actually, inhabitational. We're inhabited by God. We have a different relationship. Are you with me? Our relationship with God's not off and on. You know, one day it's good, one day it's bad. How are you and God doing? Well, you know, I don't know. No. Your relationship with God is not off and on. His nature is unchanging. He's constantly loving, perfect love, constantly joyful, constantly peaceful, constantly patient towards you, constantly good towards you, continually. His love is unchanging. His joy is unchanging. His peace is unchanging. Can I give you a great revelation? God is not moody like we are. I mean, that's something to praise God about. Just think if he were moody like you. He'd have some good days and some bad days. You know, you'd call up to heaven and you'd ask first, well, is the Lord in a good mood today? If he's not, I'll come back. He's in a good mood all the time. All the time. That's amazing. He's not moody. And he's always in a good mood towards you. The devil will try to make you think otherwise. God is in a good mood towards you all the time because you are in, come on. That's why God is in a good mood towards you all the time. He only sees Jesus. Whoa. Whoa. That's why he's constantly merciful to you, constantly compassionate to you, constantly kind to you, constantly generous to you when you don't deserve it, constantly faithful to you when you're unfaithful. He's still faithful. Constantly self-controlled toward you. Wow. So if we have issues, and come on, raise your hand. We have issues. Come on, it's okay to admit I got issues. Okay. God knows that. But we don't, when we have issues, we don't have to get back into good graces with God. We're already in good graces with God. He's not moody. God is celebrating and only working on one part of you, the new man. The old man's dead. God doesn't want anything to do with that. That's past, that's buried, that's gone. He's only working on the new you. And it's a great day when you, as a Christian, finally relax in being in Christ and you start to remember that you're living under God's smile. You're living under God's favor. You're living under his approval. You're living under his love. You're living under his affection for you. Wow. That's what Jesus gave the Father on the cross. He gave the Father what the Father always wanted. The Father, from the very beginning, God has always wanted a family. He wanted children that he could teach about himself, about his universe, and how to live like him in this world. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he gave the Father back what the Father always wanted, what was taken away from him, his creation, his children. So Jesus gave him back the family that Satan stole. Now, I want you to relax for a moment. Really, sometimes you feel your shoulder, your neck, just kind of tense up and you don't even know why. There's something going on in your soul. You're anxious, you're uptight, I don't know. Just, we need to practice relaxing. Take a deep breath, would you? Just take a deep breath. Close your eyes. Slowly exhale. You have authority over this body. You have authority over this mind. Take another deep breath. Come on. In through the nose.
Out through the mouth, just relax. Now keep your eyes closed. While you're relaxed, while you're resting, you can receive. Now keep your eyes closed and imagine what I am about to say to you is God the Father speaking directly to you. Listen to him. Beloved child, I love you. I know everything about you. I rejoiced over you the day you were born. I am still rejoicing and singing over you. You have my full attention. I love my son in you and you in my son. I completely understand every struggle in your mind, every weakness about yourself. I want you to rest in my love. You'll be surprised how the shackles of the past will fall away. Take another deep breath. Relax. Let the tension of performance leave your soul and your body. All you need to do now is learn how to abide in me. Discover what I am to you. You are in Christ, and Christ Jesus is in you. Let your heart be filled with my joy and my gladness. You, child, are my beloved. I love you. Now open your eyes for a moment. Look at me. Let me ask you to be honest. Was it hard or is it hard for you to imagine that God would actually say that to you? If you feel like it was, don't have to raise your hands, but if you feel like that would be kind of hard for me to believe that God would say that to me, let me tell you why you feel that way. Because your mind is not renewed. You don't know how much he loves you. You need an encounter with God that'll melt you down like wax. And the encounter is not something harsh. It is his love that will absolutely melt you. Take your breath away when you realize and experience and taste this love. And so if it's hard for you, when you went through that, if it was hard for you to imagine God would be actually saying this to me, it's because your mind is stuck and needs to be renewed. In the world, we have a saying, if it sounds too good to be true, right? We're saying that in the world now, because in the world, when someone says or tells you something, hey, you know, put this money in, you can make $1 million in 1 week. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Someone is trying to con you. Someone's trying to take advantage of you. But here's the truth, though. In the kingdom of God, if it sounds too good to be true, next slide, please. In the kingdom of God, if it sounds too good to be true, it must be God. So what I have just read to you, though it was my voice, I believe It was God's heart speaking to you as His child and saying, you're my beloved. You don't know how much I love you. I know your struggles and your weaknesses, but I love you. I sing over you. I rejoice over you. And if it was hard for you to believe that, too good to be true, must be God. Let's stand up. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. I pray that it'll go deep, deep, deep within us. You said your truth sets us free. Set us free from religion. Set us free from behavioral modification of man. Set us free from religion, performance. Set us free from traditions of men that have no place with us walking in the Spirit. Set us free, Lord, with your truth, your word. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word tonight. I pray that people will take it, chew on it, meditate on it, and let the Holy Spirit show them how to make application. Thank you for your great, great love for us. Thank you that we don't have a sin nature. We've been crucified with Christ. We are new creations that never existed before. We've been born again, born of the Spirit, born from above. Thank you for your DNA in us. Thank you for your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control in us, in our spirit, waiting to be manifested in our soul as we renew our minds, and waiting to be manifested as great, lasting, remaining fruit as we minister to this world that desperately needs to see God in us. Thank you, Father. Your blessings on your wonderful people here tonight. Bless them for their faithfulness. If they're faithful in little, they'll be faithful in greater things. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning.